This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Everybody is a Poem with me, Jan Brereton. I'm a mom, I'm a fashion stylist, I'm a perpetual sweary person, and I'm also an accidental poet. Each episode, through my poems, conversations and the magic of podcasting, I will explore all things real life with my guests. I bet you didn't think poetry was for you, did you? Well, me neither, but I've learned that everybody is a poem. Welcome to episode one. My name is Jan Brereton, and at the end of 2021, I wrote a poem, What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? I'd never written a poem before, and that poem went viral. It was shared all over the world through Twitter and WhatsApp, Facebook and Instagram. And once I started writing, I couldn't stop. I wrote about clubbing, parenting, wearing leggings, being a woman, feeling shit, feeling okay, drinking wine, supermarket discos and eating biscuits. I call a catchphrase poetry. I say what I see. Do you remember in school when you were reading poems and your teacher would explain what each line meant and then you'd write in pencil in between? It was like a little translation of it. Well, that's not my poems. In this podcast, you'll hear poems that are easy to understand and they're relatable. They're open and they're honest because I'm a serial oversharer. And now I just do it through the medium of poetry. And my guest this week is Maya Dunphy. She's a writer and a broadcaster, and you may know her from her very own podcast, the excellent Read the Room, which I love. And she hosts that with Paddy Courtney. And she's been writing and producing for over a decade now. And I'm meeting her for real life.
Just for the first time
in real life.
Everybody's a poem. I feel like an ill-conceived nursery rhyme today. I'm going to warn you now, I might end up crying during this podcast.
Okay.
Because I know where it's going to go.
I cry as well.
Do you? Are you a crier?
Yeah. I'm an overshare. I mean, there's a poem
in
there.
I love that poem.
Yeah.
Oversharing.
Yeah. But now I say I just do it through the medium of poetry. Yeah.
Do you know what though, Jan? I've tried to stop apologizing for myself because sometimes you see someone, I start babbling and I realize I've told them too much and I see their face glaze and I go, oh my God, they want to be everywhere, anywhere else. And now I've stopped beating myself up for doing that because...
No, I mean, and that's why that poem is there as well. It's like, do you know what? I mightn't be your cup of tea, but this is what I am. So, you know, yeah. And I'd be very much the same. I used to always feel a bit ashamed about oversharing. I overshared. You don't know me that well. You might not get my jokes yet or the stories I tell. My constant proclaiming could be leaving you tired. Don't worry. I know I'm a taste that's acquired.
It's gorgeous. Oh, I love it.
Thanks. Yeah.
That was just one of my favourite ones.
Really?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I'm like, I think people would say, like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And then sometimes I'm not happy that I do that. And I've told people too much too soon. But then on the other hand, I'm actually incredibly private about other things. But sometimes there's just certain things that I feel that I want to tell people. I mean, even since my mum died, people have said, God, you've shared an awful lot online. I think, God, have I shared too much of it? But I think
you know. I think you decide, Maya. I think, you know.
And it's like, you'll know when I've shared too much because I'll be reported. That won't end well. But I think sometimes you do things in, like you wrote this book when you were fed up in lockdown and I lost my mum when I was so bereft that I just wanted people to know more about her. I wanted people to see how lovely her face was. And I wanted to, you know, and I didn't take my time writing things. I just put a picture up and I wrote whatever I felt at the time about that picture, you know. But the funny thing is, I think those universal feelings that, you know, around grief, around love, around how we felt in lockdown, if you're honest with people, the majority of them will just say, God, that's shit. Yeah. And either they know how you feel.
Yeah.
Or they're lucky enough to not know how you feel. You know, and especially like, you know, even losing your mother. And I think when you go through grief, and your brother, of course, when you go through grief, the world divides into two groups of people who either really understand or who, luckily for them, don't. And it doesn't mean the ones who don't go,
they,
I don't give
don't
a shit.
They, yeah, that's, yeah, the other
they don't,
thing.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Will, you know.
And they're still kind, mm-hmm, and they say they're sorry. Mm-hmm. Or they say awful things like, they're in a better place now. Oh, please don't say that.
I know, yeah.
The best place is here.
Or at least they're not in pain anymore. It's funny,
oh,
isn't
I know,
it? Because
I know.
Like, even with like Cecilia and my brother, in a way, and I don't know if you found this with your mom, and it's probably sad to kind of to bring it back up. So
no,
don't answer if you don't want to. But what I found with my brother, and actually I had a friend, Siobhan, who died when she was in her early 30s, and she after a period of time, it was horrible, but she was in the bed, and that was where she existed, in the bed. But like, I got to a stage where I was like, I'd fucking have her in the bed. If that's where she is now, I'll keep her there.
Yeah.
I can cope with her, just if that's where she is. And the same with my brother. I mean, my brother was on life support for a couple of days, but my mom, I know by her, my mom would have taken him home and had him in the house on the life support just to keep him, just to have him.
Yeah.
And I just found that mad. Do you know that you kind of, you're accepting, look, it's horrible when they're sick and you're looking at people fading, and particularly if there's pain as well. But you, if that's what they have, you'll kind of go with it. You'll take that, won't you? You'll be like, listen, fuck, even if it means that, you know, they'll be in the bed for the rest of their life, and it's no fucking life for them, but for you.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's, well, like, it's just, you're, it's,
I'll
not
have that.
It's not letting go. It's like, you do, no, you're tenacious, and whatever whatever it takes. Now, what made you like want to write a poem rather than an article or a short story? Or
I don't know, like, it literally just came out.
When you asked me to do this, and I said yes, I was like, then I spent an hour going, oh my God, it's going to be a podcast about poetry. And the truth is, like, and I have a degree from Across the Road in Trinity in English literature, and my poetry was, it's almost sacrilegious an Irish person to say you're not really into poetry, because we have such a tradition of amazing poetry. And like, you'll be in the bar in New York and some dick will be quoting Heaney to try and get into your knickers, and you go, yeah, listen, we've loads of people like you at home, forget about it. But the truth is, and like I said, I, hands up, being embarrassed, is I wouldn't read poetry for enjoyment. Like, I wouldn't sit and read Yeats or Kavanagh. But as Irish people, we're meant to hold on to this. And it's a great tradition, and there's amazing, powerful poems, but it wasn't a medium I was drawn to, if that makes sense. And that's what I think is amazing about poetry like yours, because, and of course, there's loads of realism in poetry dating back till the year dot. But sometimes it's a certain word, a certain phrase at the right time. And you just nailed that with this book in the last couple of years. And it's the realism of it. And there are some lines in some of your poems that just catch you. And like, you know, I have to catch my breath. They're so powerful, you know? And yet you use, like, sometimes it's quite prosaic. Like, you use really simple words, but they're so expressive. And I think it's much harder to use simple language well.
When I started writing, it kind of didn't stop, and I was writing about all sorts of silly stuff in a way. And I remember sitting in the park, because it was on another 7 millionth trip to the fucking park.
Oh,
and
Jesus,
there was
Christ.
Just looking at more of these women around, like, you know, fucking sweating buckets and sending emails on their phone and getting coffees and blah, blah, blah. So I wrote this about that. And then also I wanted to think about your one, Sheryl Sandberg, you know, is that her name? The Facebook
woman. Yeah.
The lean in shit.
Yeah.
Because that really fucking annoys me. Lean in, fuck off. Like, I remember hearing her, I think it was 2013 or something, and I had just had my son. He was a year old. And I remember they were all talking about lean in. It was the biggest load of fucking bollocks I've ever heard in my life. So yeah, so she gets a little mention in there as well, but it's not a love poem. So it's called A Woman's Place. A woman's place is in the home, around it and outside it. Lean into work, like Cheryl said, the laundry's done, she dried it. Answer phones, review accounts, in time to make the tea. Deliver babies, fix broken bones and plaster bloody knees. Drive the bus, cook the food, take the shopping order. Write reviews, read the news, spend girly time with daughters. Teach lessons. Cut and style the hair, give partner strong support. Stack the shelves, teach exercise, construct a blanket fort. Encourage and enlighten. Bake a birthday cake. Sign off on that big project. Ensure bedtime is 8. stand up in court and state a case, make coffee in a shop, be home in time for pickup, clean the kitchen with a mop. A woman's place is everywhere. Like God, she's omnipresent. She splits herself in pieces. At times, it's quite unpleasant. Now, there you go.
I forgot about Cheryl and the Lean In shit.
Oh, it's a load of bollocks.
It is. Can I read one of your poems?
Go on, yeah.
It's because we live in this kind of social media era, and sometimes you just need something to lift you. And this is one that I shared when all the meditation shit was going around. I don't know how to meditate, Jan, and I've tried. And I've tried with the mantras and the words and all that. And I just sit there and either I have stuff to do or my son is coming in and I go, oh, do you know what? I'll just put some music on when I'm cooking dinner and that will be it.
Yeah, that's your meditation.
And then I start to feel guilty and stressed that I can't meditate. And then it's completely counterintuitive. So this little poem I put on, I think I tweeted or put it on Instagram stories about a year ago. It's called Meditation Cake. I try to, now, by the way, apologies if I'm reading this incorrectly as well, because it's, do you hate people reading your poem that loud?
No, I love when people read it. It makes me feel real. Oh my God.
Okay, well, I'll try and do it justice. Yeah. It's only four lines. I'm sure I can do it without totally fucking up. Meditation cake. I try to meditate today. They say it clears the head. It's not all it's cracked up to be. So I had some cake instead.
Yeah.
Short and sweet. Yeah. And it summed up some of those days in lockdown where you're told, take time for yourself. That's the other thing that drives me mad. It's a bit Cheryl, a bit Lean In.
Yeah, yeah.
And people say to me, do you know what? I think my son is amazing. He's more like a middle-aged flatmate, really, than a child. He's great company and I love him. But there are times I would love to just be able to go for a walk by myself or do something. Yeah. And I can't. And that's fine. People say, take some time for yourself. Go and get a massage. I'll stop you there. What are you talking about? Yeah, go and get a massage. Yeah, and I'm working and then I've got the school pickup. And then someone said to me, oh, there's a really lovely yoga class Monday nights near you at 7 o'clock. I can't go at 7 in the evening because there's no one else to have my son. And sometimes people don't realise that and they mean well. It's like, no, it's fine. I'll have one drink and music while I'm making dinner and that's my meditation.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because I wrote a poem. It's not in the book. It's called Lipstick Is My Yoga. And it's just like the same bit like you. You know, people going, you know, would you not try a bit of that yoga there? And I'd be like, fuck off, will you? Like, what do you want me to do? Like, look at me, I'm a fucking rage. And you want me to go and chant and fucking breathe? Like, fuck off. And worst of all, you want me to do it with other people? Like, I don't know about you. I'd just be looking at every, you know, like, what's that? Well, like, I just can't help them but look at other people bending over and stuff. It's like, I don't. Not
well,
for me.
As you can see, so, I mean, I've just come from a.
You did great.
I came from a class, and it's the most middle-aged thing, Jan, but I may as well lean into it, Cheryl. There's a class that's other mums from the school and I'm doing my best to try and integrate into kind of mumdom, and it's an exercise class in the church hall beside the school on a Monday morning, which is today. So I'm going to, and you know what? It's nice.
Yeah, well, that's, it's nice. You know, it is. It's good. I suppose, like, my thing is that my meditation is like a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Oh my God, sleep.
You know, a takeout, like not having to cook dinner.
Yeah.
You know, like they're my little meditative moments.
Yeah.
And like that, putting on my lipstick and going out, that makes me feel fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I don't have to go and do an hour of hatha yoga or whatever it is to feel amazing. I just put a bit of lipstick on and that makes me feel at least 10% better than I did before.
Possibly 15.
Possibly a bit more, depends if I've managed to brush my hair as well and change my knickers. But like, do
or
you
at
know,
least turn them inside out.
Yeah.
Get the second day.
No,
but you know what? I think that's the thing that we've, for all the sort of self-care, wellness, like wellness is a word I'm not a fan of.
No.
That was terrible because it's a brilliant, I think you're a cynical person like me. I'm just deeply cynical. And
you know,
I try and find kind of funny and silly in everyday life, but I've accepted that I am just not the kind of person who is probably ever going to be able to meditate or get overly. Now, my idea of wellness is, because like you, I walk everywhere. But if I can just walk somewhere nice, like down by the sea with a podcast or music for an hour, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
I feel so much. And somebody else might want to go for a 5K run. Someone else might want. But don't do shit because other people say you should.
Yeah.
It becomes emperor's new clothes. I'm like, oh no, but it's amazing. I've not tried this. You go, I did and I didn't like it very much. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, that's like, now I'll try and find this poem. There's a poem in the book called 6 AM's The New Black.
God.
And that actually comes from that. There was a girl on Instagram that I know, a lovely girl, and she is a single parent as well, actually, and has two kids and had had, now we'll just flick through it while I'm talking.
Why didn't we mark the poems in this?
Because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I have a whole thing in there in the iPad, I haven't even looked at it. But anyway, so this was a girl, now it's on page 62. This girl had posted up one day a picture of herself, you know, weeping. And I don't feel comfortable looking at them either. But look, she was having a shit time and it was her way to say, I'm having a shit day. And she'd had a shit day. And she was saying, you know, it's not been a good day and blah, 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 and whatever else. And underneath it, she got all of these very well-meaning messages saying, do you know what I do? I get up at six. This is what I do to make my day easier. I get up at six and I do this, or I do this, or I chant, or I fucking do this and I fucking do that. And I sent her a message and I said, it's 2 o'clock. I'm still in my pajamas. Haven't cleaned my teeth. You know what? It's grand. Like, tomorrow might be shit. Today is shit. Just say today is shit and, you know, accept. Not accept. No, I wasn't doing that. Oh, say it's shit. Accept it. But I was saying, that's a load of bollocks. I'm sorry you're having a shit day. Listen, if it's any consolation, I'm still in my pajamas. I haven't cleaned my teeth. The kids are on screens all day. You're grand. Like, we're all the same.
Yeah. That's kind of message I'd like.
So 6 a.m. is the new black. And I get up at 6 a.m., can I just say?
Do you? I don't.
Yeah. But I don't do any of that shit. So I wrote this. It's called 6 a.m. is the new black. 6 a.m. is the new black. Get up early so you can attack the day ahead. Start feeling great before the house gets up at 8. Brew your coffee, organic black. Do hatha yoga, stretch out in your back. Knit your own muesli. Sprinkle chai, it'll keep you regular as the day goes by. Watch the sun rise, be grateful, give thanks. Hold a 30-minute plank. Most mornings I get up at 6 to sit in peace and watch Netflix.
My biggest thing now to get through any day, and I say to other people who might have insomnia or they've been bereaved or having a very bad day or their marriage has ended, and a bit like you've said, Brenda, I always say, look, I'm really sorry. Like, I always have to think that tomorrow might be better.
Yeah.
And maybe it won't be, but then the next day might be better.
Yeah.
And once you can hold on to that, no matter what it is, and even like, you know, that time with a new baby, that's a different kind of tiredness as well. And I always say, you only ever have to get through one day.
Yeah.
I think that's really, and even if you don't sleep the next night, you only have to get through one day the next day. You can only get through one day at a time. And I've always found that helpful for lots of reasons. You don't really have to do an hour of hot yoga to do it.
No.
Can you imagine anything worse than doing yoga in a heated room? No. That's just the worst thing ever.
Like things, I mean, I've never been to a gym or anything like that. Just, they always seem to play horrible music and things. It's always like, bah, 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 like horrible music coming out. Just the idea of... I did join a gym
and I joined for a year and I didn't use it.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay the subscription the year after. But yeah, that music's an interesting one.
I say I'm a prude in the way that I don't really want sweaty other people too close to me. I don't do swimming pools
with
the kids. For the rooms, the changing rooms, they wreck my head. Like, did you see that episode of Motherland where the swimming pool?
Yeah.
Like, that's it's me.
So
it's like,
good.
I'm there. There's like fucking tampons floating and, you know, bits of plasters and hair and everything. And like, I'll put my hand down and it's like, that was me. I literally was like, ah! Like,
yeah, no, there's no denying like communal changing rooms are hell.
And I,
they're
the
a hell
person
honor.
Who wants to dry between their toes but not have a towel on always comes and stands beside me. And I don't know why.
And you know what? The thing is, in my local pool, because I did bring my son, and we went every Sunday, which was fairly, it wasn't too crowded, but weekends still tend to be dad time because no matter how many people are working in the house, it still does tend to be mum's doing school run and all that. And so dads, and I've noticed that because we just have weekends and a lot of it, our dad's out.
Yeah.
So there's a family changing room. So it's a whole new level of hell because it's not just other women. Then you have a fella. They're drawing their kids and it's all, obviously, there's nothing dodgy, not dodgy fellas in the family changing rooms. But like that, there was a fella drawing his kid's toes and his towel slipped off and I got the full...
Oh,
full moon.
I can't help but look. Like, that's
of course, you can't
thing.
Help
I don't know
but
why,
look.
And I really don't want to.
And I was like,
but
that's
I'm just
a...
like, oh.
I remember looking like... and going, it's so weird. You've no hair in your chest, but like, you've such a hairy arse. And I didn't need to see this at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Oh, gosh.
See what I mean? Oversharing.
No, listen, you're not. We're no zero judgment here. Another oversharer. You know, actually, the I can tell you. See, when I wrote that, I'd made meatballs for the kids and my husband for lunch, and
okay, what are you going to overshare about meatballs?
No,
I'm worried.
Here, no,
I'm worried.
We'll get to the oversharing. So the meatballs, okay. And my son said to me, "Mom, what kind of meat is used in mince and meatballs?" And so, yeah, so he was saying, is it what kind of mince is used? Where does the meat come from? And Austin said, it's basically, see when you take out the steak and the blah and the blah and the blah.
No.
So it's all the leftovers has gone into that. And my son said, is there a cow's vagina in these meatballs? And I was like, there's no fucking cow's vagina in them meatballs. That's your dinner eating. And if there is, you're eating cow's vagina. I was so furious. I was like, I'm after making dinner for everyone here and he wants to know if there's cow's vagina in his meatballs. So I've overshared that with you. But I spoke to somebody on
let's
the phone.
Let's face it, there is probably a cow's vagina in most meatballs.
Yeah, look, there is. But I recounted
but
that conversation with someone over the phone who I knew, but maybe not that well. I was like, wait, I tell you what Theo just said to me about his dinner. He wants to know if there's cow vagina in his meatballs. It was just deathly silence on the other end of the phone. I was like, okay, keep that one to myself. So for now, I shared it with you. And that's where the oversharing
and
came from.
You shared on a podcast.
Yeah, no.
It's funny, no. One more vagina story with kids. My son has this little train set and there's couplings for the rails and one sticks out and one's a hole, and that's how you link the trains.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
he was watching a YouTube thing and someone said, oh, it's a male-to-male connector, female-to-female connector. And Tom said, why do they call that? I said, well, like, I'd never thought of it. I said, well, I suppose because the one that sticks out looks a bit like a penis and the one that goes in looks like a vagina. He went, oh, right. And the next thing, his friend's over and he goes, can you find a piece in the box? I need one with two vaginas on it.
I love it.
And I was like, and his mother was there and I said, look, there is a story. And she went, I don't really want to know the story. I just think it's fucking brilliant. I said, no, but you can just call it female to female. And he goes, but that's why it's called that. I said, I'm just guessing it's why it's called that. So now we have like the double vagina train
love
pieces.
It.
But you know what? At least both of our sons use the correct word.
Yes, that's
isn't
true.
Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never did the different. I mean, there's a fucking poem in that. What people call their what they call their vagina, like,
I know.
Bloody hell.
And I'm still slightly prudish about it. I don't know, there's a kind of, and like, my parents are pretty liberal and I wasn't raised in a really religious household, or God, we're covering all sorts in this, aren't we?
Yeah.
But I was determined again that with my son, all the correct terms will be used, any questions will be answered, you know, on a need to know basis. I'm not going to give him too much information too soon.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to try and get it right. But I still feel myself kind of going, oh no, when questions come up, like, how do I not get this wrong? But I think, you know, this is another thing about being a woman, being a mother, you're going to get some things wrong. You're going to drop some balls.
Yes.
Because there are just too many balls. Or testicles, as we should call them.
That's it. There's too many testicles to juggle.
Too many testicles. Something's got to go.
The poems that I write, or that are in the book, and the new ones that I write, like, the themes kind of cover all sorts.
Yeah.
Like, as we said, biscuits, wine, feeling good, not feeling good, being adequate, oversharing. What kind of themes, if I was to write a poem about you today?
Oh, God.
What kind of themes might I cover?
I don't know. I'm a devil for pulling myself down. And again, like we just said, I think sometimes it's the idea that you'll put yourself down before somebody else can. So I don't know, I'm getting better. It's taken me kind of the guts of 40 years to realise that actually nobody else gives a shit.
Oh.
No one else cares. I remember a friend saying to me, no one actually gives a shit about you. And it's not an arrogant thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not saying that I think everyone's thinking about me, but it's just, if anyone is sitting at home going, Jesus, that Maya Dunphy wants a pain in the hole, then they must have little else to be doing.
Mm.
So I think you would write a poem about me that I finally realised that nobody else gives a shit, and that's quite liberating.
I'm going to send you a new poem, which is called I Bet You Think This Poem Is About You. But the premise behind it is there's two ways you can start, or one way, but you can look at it, you know, and it's basically nobody gives a shit. Yeah. And it can be, nobody gives a shit, or it can be, no one gives a shit. Yeah. So it's like, what way are you going to, you know,
are you going to interpret that?
Yeah, yeah, it can be positive, or, you know, you can do the no one cares about me, or
yeah,
nobody. So I remember a time
not so long ago, and I hadn't seen anyone face to face apart from my son for about 2 weeks. I hadn't seen anybody, and I was walking into town and I saw someone I knew across the road. I was like, oh my God, there's so and so. And then for a second I thought, I look a mess, I've no makeup on, do I really want to stop and talk to her like that?
And you didn't.
I did, I kept walking.
No,
I know. And I thought, then I got home, I was like, I'm never going to do that again, even if it was only a 5 minute chat.
Yeah.
So isn't that terrible?
Do you know what, if you had gone up, you probably would have gone, hi, your hair's gone, oh don't look at me, I look a fucking
don't look at me. My mum passed away just 10 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And you sent me that beautiful poem. I won't be able to read it because I'll just be in floods of tears.
Yeah.
Always there. Is that what you've called that poem that you wrote about Cecilia?
Oh, that's it, yeah. Do you want me to read it?
No, I don't want you to read it. I'll be in bits. No, do you know what? Will you read it?
Yeah, if you have it there. I don't have it here.
This is your podcast. So here's me saying don't read it.
Okay.
Can you read it on that? And you can swipe. It's on your Instagram.
Yeah, so I wrote this. It was the, I'll just put it into context for you. We'd spent our last day with Cecilia. Well, the children had and I had. And my son said to me, when will I see her again? And I said, you'll see her in the trees. That's as much as I could say to him because I didn't know what to fucking say to him.
Yeah.
When will you, like, you know, what could I say? So I wrote this one. And as I said, Austin read it to her. So she knew it was written about her and stuff. God, I'll try and hold it together as well. Here we go. When I hug someone, you'll be there. You'll be in the mirror when I brush my hair or carefully apply my favourite red lippy. You'll be wrapped in my scarf when the weather gets nippy. I'll see you in the trees when I walk. You'll be in the voices of the kids when they talk. You'll be there while I cut carrots and veg and beside me when I'm feeling on edge. You'll look out the window as I do the dishes. You'll be in the candles when I make birthday wishes. And when I think nobody could possibly care, you'll do something to show me you're not gone. You're right there.
It's amazing. Like, and you sent me that when in my mum's final weeks. And it was just, it's beautiful.
Thanks.
Anyway,
that's
probably a good way
to
end it.
Yeah.
Unless, do you want to go for some cow's vagina and pasta?
Oh God. And there you have it. Everybody is a poem. Thanks, Maya, for being my first amazing guest. And thank you to the team here at the podcast studios for getting me up on this podcast horse. And thank you for listening. See, we're not really strangers, are we?
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.